Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do take a seat. Today marks the beginning of Advent, a time that the Church keeps as we prepare for the coming of our Lord. Yes, that first coming that we mark on Christmas Day, but more supremely our Lord's coming again, and the utter and complete transformation which that event will usher in. And so the scriptures set for us today are full of warnings and commands. Watch. Keep awake. Keep alert. And our church too is inviting us to notice something different. We see the bare trees, the wreaths, the purple frontal and vestments. We know that something is supposed to have changed. Yet for many, Advent has ceased to be a time of preparation, or anything other than a countdown to a great feast, and perhaps lots of presents on Christmas Day. If Advent does continue to resonate, it is in the Advent calendar, that rather wonderful countdown each day to Christmas, replete with chocolate or sweet for that instant hit of gratification. But the point is that many of us are distracted by the sheer busyness of Advent. Our diaries are full of engagements. Christmas parties are happening among friends and in workplaces before Christmas has even begun. We decorate our trees early. We see Christmas decorations already in our streets and in shop windows. And we spend copious time worrying about what presents we should buy for those who we love. Now, don't get me wrong, all of that is very nice. But we are called in this season of Advent to watch and wait. As Christians, we are people called to be open to our Lord's coming again, called to prepare our hearts and minds anew for that day that is to come, unexpectedly, in the blink of an eye. And the passage we heard read from St. Matthew's Gospel this morning speaks directly about this watching and waiting. Jesus begins by telling the disciples that no one knows the time of the Lord's coming, neither the angels nor the Son, but only the Father. And the days of the coming of the Son of Man are likened to be the days of Noah. And the point of the comparison here seems to be the very unexpected nature of the two events. So unexpected was the flood that people did not recognize it until the waters had already come upon them, we learn in Genesis. So too, Jesus tells us that his second coming will be similarly unexpected. But what are we to do in response to this unexpected, dare I say, even slightly unsettling prospect? Jesus calls us to respond with alert watchfulness, to watch and await his coming again. Now make no mistake about it, this is not a precise timetable for which we can look to the end of the world. But I think Jesus is calling us to do two things. To maintain a strong faith in God's direction in history, and to hope for the vindication that is to come through the fulfilling of all God's promises. That is the justice for which we long. And to let that watchful hope be matched with action in the present. Our orientation towards the one who is and the one who is to come should change who we are and how we interact in and with the world. But we are not very accustomed to waiting. And if you're anything like me, you probably don't like to wait very much at all. We want to have things when we want them. Waiting is passive and perhaps even unexciting. The boring bit before we get to the exciting bit. But the paradox of Advent is that in waiting and watching, there is hope. That watching and waiting is both necessary and even good. At one level, our watching and waiting is focused on our longing for the still small hours of Christmas morning, when we mark the birth of Jesus, an event which changed everything and which we rightly celebrate with feasting and rejoicing. At another level, however, we are longing for that time which Isaiah speaks of in his prophecy. And this, I want to suggest, is our proper Advent longing. It is a longing for those days that are to come, when the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains. It is a longing for a time when there shall be no more war, when swords and plowshares shall be beaten into pruning hooks. A longing for a time when things of war shall become the things of growth and peace. It is a longing for that time when we and those around us can recognize that the only way forward is to empty ourselves as Christ emptied himself upon the cross. Of course, we don't yet know the fullness of the difference that Christ will make to our world. Yes, in some sense, Christ has already changed everything, but the Advent message is that there is still more to come. We are still watching and waiting to see what might happen if Jesus is allowed into our lives that little bit more fully. Now, this watching and waiting isn't about a passive resignation to whatever happens, but an active participation in God's action in our everyday. But I don't want to shy away from the fact that watching and waiting can sometimes be difficult. It can be raw and uncomfortable, as things come to the surface that we're not expecting. I remember some years ago now when my grandfather was dying. My grandfather chose to die at home and was able to do so with the help of his family and visiting hospice staff. And so, over about 2 weeks or so, we watched and waited, actively engaged in that which was to come. The mundane, the beautiful, the ridiculous and the devastating, sometimes in quick succession and sometimes all at once. But I keep coming back to the attentiveness of my family and to my grandfather's own watching and waiting in those days. About a day or so before he died, my grandfather was transfixed by the garden around him. We had moved his bed from upstairs to the downstairs sitting room, only used for the best of occasions, and the sitting room looked out into the garden of the property that he and my grandfather had made their own. And sitting beside my grandmother, perched on the edge of the bed, they watched and waited upon the beauty of the garden and its bird life, as blue wrens and robin redbreasts danced in that little slice of Eden itself. So yes, watching and waiting is hard, but it can also be unexpectedly beautiful. As we watch and wait, seeking the fullness of Christ's transformation in our world in this season of Advent, it is good and proper for us to examine ourselves. Have we allowed Jesus fully in? Has the good news really made the full impact that it might if only we let it? Or maybe we are still locked into the old patterns of darkness and slavery, neither at home with ourselves, nor with others, nor truly, if we are honest with ourselves, with God. And ultimately, can we look at God and say, there is beauty and truth and love, and even though following that path might be narrow and costly, there is nowhere else I would rather be. We should be attentive to these things and the world around us, resisting all of the temptation to rush to Christmas Day, caught up in the busyness of it all. Now, you'll be relieved to know, I hope, that I'm not suggesting you should keep the next 4 weeks in a vow of absolute silence. But I suggest that you take time away from the noise and busyness of our world and our diaries. We must attend to our souls and pray for the world. And that takes time and space and silence. And maybe then, in that watching and waiting, in that silent examination, we too might catch a glimpse of the beauty of the birds dancing in our own gardens. And in so casting off the darkness and busyness that clouds our minds, and putting on the armour of light, we might be equipped to walk in the new day which Christ offers to us. That new day where there shall only be love.